you ever get mom guilt for having high expectations for your kids at school? Or do you ever feel guilty about taking them out of school to do some family bonding? Today, we are sharing our thoughts on how we feel about school expectations for our kids. So grab your drinks, pop in those earphones, especially if you have little ears around, and let's dive right into episode 82.
Welcome to Mamas and Mimosas. I'm your girl, Roni.
I'm Marianne.
And today we have a lovely special guest here with us. Can you please tell us your name and what you do for a living?
My name's Lorena, and I am an assistant principal in the community of Watts next to South LA. We're directly across from the Watts School.
And are you a mother? Do you have children?
I am also a mother. I have a 4-year-old and a 15-month-old boy and a 4-year-old, my daughter.
Nice. And today our episode is talking about education, kids today, schooling system, and just how things have changed and how everything is today. Do you see a difference in schools today with how you were back in the day in school? Like, is it a big difference or?
Absolutely. I'm like thinking right now through everything because I started teaching 11 years ago. Just last year, I transitioned to the admin role, assistant principal. But schooling when I was in school versus today is very different. And I think even different, a whole different system after, or we're still in a pandemic, but coming back, just learning to navigate the different emotions and trauma and the impact of COVID, everything's different. Prioritizing mental health, for instance, is one of the differences. Really building inclusive spaces for students to feel seen and heard. So that's different. Before it was like, you know, you just listen to the adults. Now it's like, well, let's give students more of a voice and agency.
And that's a big difference from before COVID. Like it wasn't, they didn't really press the issue versus coming back after COVID. They're like, okay, we need to implement this new stuff because everybody went through so much. Yeah. So are they giving them that outlet now versus before it wasn't really looked upon or?
It was, but not as heavy as now. Before we did start to prioritize social emotional learning, but now it's become more of a priority just because kids are feeling the impact of the pandemic and just inflation right now. Kids are feeling that pressure, the economic pressure from going home to parents and the financial struggle. And sorry, and I'm in an inner city where 96% of our scholars are low income, reduced lunches. So they come home with different layers of trauma, of poverty. We definitely are changing the way we view education and trying to have that academic rigor, but also align it with creating safe spaces for them to talk about or how to process emotions.
Which is good. I think they need to do that more. It seems like back when we were in school, I don't really remember. I know we would have counselor, but it wasn't really like, it didn't feel like you can just really go talk to them about whatever you were going through. And now it seems like it's more of an outlet where you can go do that.
I think that issue arose when, remember, like all the school shootings were happening, like they started like doing the mental health checks or whatever. And then after COVID, I feel like a lot of them are socially
awkward
or maybe because the pressure to come back to school and still meet the standards or expectations and like because they took a year or two off, now like the kids are behind, right?
Yeah. All that has played a huge impact how students are feeling because learning from home, it was a different experience for them. Some of them never turned on the camera. They were kind of from bed doing schooling. So now having to come and socialize and navigate so many conflicts when you're in a school setting, like relationships and friendships. There's so many more layers.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you see a difference with like grades and attendance this time around, like after COVID, pre-COVID, or just in general?
Yes, attendance. We've been trying to tackle attendance, getting kids to school. They've gotten comfortable with home, and many of them are like, well, can I get the option to just do the work at home? And we're like, no, we need to get you in school. We need to have you here, especially now the academic gap did get wider. So we feel like this urgency and pressure to have them in class and attentive which also builds into them feeling that additional pressure. So finding that balance of like, how do we support them, but also get them to see the urgency themselves.
What about attendance? Like, because when they're sick, now attendance is like, you have to keep them home for X amount of time or whatever. Like, I know, especially now that we're in the winter months, like, a lot of kids are getting sick. So now you have that, you know, the expectation that maybe it could be COVID. So they have to stay home for 2 weeks.
And precaution. Then, we do offer tests. We tell them, we check on them all the time. But you're right. The attendance is still not going to be the same as pre-COVID, but now things are more accessible to students. Now teachers know how to like use Google Classroom or different platforms for them to access work online. So we do tell students, like, if you're going to stay home, please access the work. And we try to provide them with the technology as well.
Now, are they offering, like, because I always say this, like, you know, school is one thing, but like when you get out in the real world, like some of that stuff we learn at school, like, I mean, you still don't learn it in the real world. And I always say, like, I wish there was a class to like teach the kids, like, how to use a credit card, what's an APR, like life skills. Like,
more life skills. Are they not doing life skill classes?
I don't, are they? Because I mean,
I had a life skills out of school class.
I mean, I had like accountant and business, but it wasn't, I don't feel like it told me like, you better really pay attention to this credit because it's everything.
Yeah, so credit is everything. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
They don't offer life.
We got to do better. We still, or somehow connected. I think we need to, there's opportunities in a teacher's lesson where you have to like make a connection, connect math to credit scores and connect literacy and reading to contracts and how you're going to need that for the real world.
Absolutely.
I think it's all about making the connections, but I do understand sometimes teachers are so overwhelmed when you're in it and you're trying to manage a classroom. It's so hard to be like, okay, how do I make a real world connection while I'm getting, you know, this student to listen. So there's just so many layers, but we should offer more courses.
Even just in the school general, like not make it necessary for the teacher to be like doing it, but like a class, like a life skills class. And especially in the area that you said you were in, because even for me, like growing up, like I was not in such a good area. Mm-hmm. And like there's just things culturally that you don't learn at home. No one ever told me like the importance of different things that I needed in the real world. So, you know, it would be good to go to school and have the kids know, for someone to tell them and break it down. Like, girl, pay attention to this because in a little bit, you're going to need to know this. Because I feel like I have yet to do
algebra in the real world. But I feel like even if you tell like a high school student that, they're just like, F you, I don't need that now. But I'm never going to have to deal with that. Like, they don't care.
They might, but they act like they don't care about anything. But as a senior in high school getting ready to go to college or whatever the case may be, might want to listen to that. But they're going to take it if they want or not.
We do try to connect them to like internships. So some students, they'll go to different locations, law firms, nurse office, you know, just so that they get more exposure. Mm-hmm. We do have like a seventh period on Fridays where it's an enrichment class where they can take a fun course, but it's still not enough. It needs to be more embedded in like the everyday aspect. I think so.
Now, being an educator and a mom, like, you see all kind of stuff at school, I'm sure, in high school. So do you come home and you're like, okay, listen up. Like, trying to, like, get your kids a certain way because you're like, I can't believe this child did this at school. I don't care that my child is only four. Let me tell you, don't do that.
Yes, I think about it every single day. Or I'll see kids that are, like, they're really outstanding. And I'm like, what your parents do? Like, can you tell me what
they do to get you like that?
And replicate it. Because I come home and, like, my daughter Celine, she can be off the chain. Like, am I doing something wrong? But I think every day I go to school and I'll see different situations and how peer pressure and just trying different things, and that scares me because I'm like, how do I come home and make sure that my daughter can distinguish right from wrong and like not fall into the peer pressure? Because it's hard, you know, when you're at that age, you're insecure, you're trying to discover who you are, you want to be accepted. So it's scary because I know there's going to come a time where Celine's going to be like, well, you're not cool, mom, so I'm not going to listen to what you say. So I'm like,
How do you avoid that? It's no avoiding it. It's no avoiding it.
How old is your daughter?
She's 4.
Okay.
Yeah. So she just started TK, but she's already coming home and like, she's like, oh, this boy, like, I want to marry him. And I'm like, what? You're 4. It's already starting.
Do you ever notice, like, she comes home with new tendencies that she may have picked up from, like, other kids? And you're like, where did that come from?
Yeah. She'll be like, I don't want, like, with her brother. He's 15 months. Like, sometimes she'll come and she's like, I'm not going to play with you right now. And I'm like, what are we doing right now? Yeah. We're not a mean girl. So I do see that. So I have to talk to her about it, but she's in that age where it starts so young. She's mm-hmm. right, and
I think it starts the crazy thing is that's the problem. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's starting even younger, but I think social it's because media. Yes, it's yeah. because all of the YouTube. I'm like, we didn't have YouTube. We didn't yeah. like, and I'm not knocking tablet because all of my kids be on the tablet, like yeah. to get a peace of mind. But it's just like they are growing up so fast. These yep. new kids are mm-hmm. like. They're different. Like a 4-year-old a few years ago is different from the 4-year-olds oh, today. Yeah. It's yeah. like it's night and day. But I think that has to play yeah. a lot with the social media and wanting to fit in. Yeah. And I can imagine with the high school kids, like how that is and just the change of.
Yeah, there's them. A change. I see them already. They're exposed to everything. So they know. Everything yeah. at their hand. So they want to fit in. They want to be cool. I see it every day. And I'm like, well, how do I, you know, I also want to connect with them because if they don't connect with you, they're not going to listen to you. So it's a challenge yeah. every day.
It sounds yeah. like a challenge. Do they even always wonder, like, because I ain't saying how long since I've been out of high yeah. school, but do they have lockers and stuff anymore? Do kids dress out for PE? Like, what is high school yeah. looking like today?
What does it really look like? Yeah.
But he doesn't have locker. He doesn't dress out for PE. He doesn't, like, but I've heard, like.
Okay, so I thought it was our school because we don't have lockers. Well, we're a smaller charter school. Okay. So we don't have lockers and. PE, yeah, we get them to kind of change in their t-shirts, but some of them are like, you know.
Still like the same, like yeah, not dressing out back
in the day. They'd rather sweat in their nice
yeah,
clothes.
And their clothes yeah. and then go to school. It just seems like it just changed so much. Like I remember like in high school, like it was cool to like, you had on a nice outfit. You're like, let me go walk up to the sharpener and sharpen it. But I'm sure there's yeah. no sharpener, probably. They're
no,
probably
they're
like,
on the laptop. Right? They're typing now. Like, they're using
sharpener?
Technology.
What the hell is a sharpener? For my eyeliner?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's very interesting.
I had a question for you since you're an educator. Like, how do you, or what are your expectations for your own kids mm-hmm. for school since you are in a school setting? Like, do you have higher expectations for them or do you just want them to be like as average as possible?
Yeah, you know what? Right now, I'm thinking about my daughter's like confidence and I don't want to ever shut her down or apply too mm-hmm. much pressure. So when she comes home, you know, I talk to her about we need to do homework. So I get on it, you know, I'm exhausted, but I have her practice a little bit and I praise her a lot. But I try right now. I'm not too on her. I think one thing I've learned with kids or even teenagers, you always have to explain why, like, every action that I do with her.
Not just because I said so doesn't work.
It doesn't work anymore. No, back then it did, but now I have to wait. So I think as she gets older, my expectations are going to be higher, but I'm going to explain to her, like, this is for yourself, you know?
Yeah.
This is truly for your future. Build your own character. But I try not to apply too much pressure on her because I want her school to be enjoyable. Some days she comes and she's like, I don't want to do homework. And I'm like, I don't want you to resent yeah. it, you know. So I try to make it a fun thing.
Because mm. yeah. my son's 7 and mm-hmm. he's now at the point where it's like, I don't like this reading stuff or like, but he's yeah. great at it. And I'm like, okay, but I'm mm. like, have such high expectations for him because yeah. I know he's a smart kid yeah. and like sometimes he doesn't apply it, but he's like the type of kid that mm-hmm. does the bare minimum just to like pass kind of yeah. thing, but he's super smart and I'm like, just do it because I said so. Like, you don't want to be the one that fails this class.
Yeah. I think that's a space to ask him, like, why do you think I want you to do better? Like, have him answer it and him come up with that answer.
That's a good idea.
it's important for them to see, like, what is the reason for my actions? Why? Yeah. I mean, they start asking why at a young age. They want to know everything. Everything is connected. Yeah.
They want. That's important. They want to know why. And I've noticed, too, like, starting early with having that open line of communication, because, like, I have a 16-year-old, and, like, we are constantly, like, talking, and, like, he comes to me. He'll tell me stuff. Sometimes it's stuff that I'm, like, Devin, like, I don't even want to know that in my head, but I'm like, okay, at least he feels comfortable enough to come to that space. Yeah. So even if I'm over there cringing, like, oh my God, why is he coming? But I'm like, hey, okay, this is good. Let me not make a facial expression so that you don't tell me from this point on.
Yeah.
But I've tried to make sure to have that. That's what I wanted, to make him comfortable to come tell me things that may be uncomfortable, because I feel like a lot of times you don't want to have those uncomfortable conversations, but it's needed.
Because if you don't give him that advice, then his friend in high school is going to give him that advice. And it might not be the best advice. That's not the best. Yeah.
You definitely don't want him telling you what to do.
Yeah.
It's definitely something to think about, and having that open line of communication for sure. Especially with teenagers.
Because they're navigating every day. Every day they're navigating friendships, relationships, conflicts,
drama, grades,
drama, the little things, looking at somebody looked at me too long, anyway, like all the things that come to my office. So I actually handle discipline.
Oh my goodness.
So I'll respond when there's fights and there's conflict, and I have to like de-escalate that, and I have to talk them through it. And also, not the because I said so doesn't work in education anymore. I have to talk to students about, like, what is the impact of the school community of getting into a fight? What is the impact to your family, to the teachers that work there? So the whole processing emotions piece is so important in education at home. So we have to talk about everything after a fight. It can't just be punitive. That doesn't work. They're more receptive to that then I think the punitive approach, the whole like, okay, you're suspended, don't do it again. No, they look at you, they're like, you know, some of them are terrified and some of them are like, thank you, I get to stay at home, and they're like, I'm bad, and they start to like that, you know, part of the identity. But when you get into the deeper conversations with them about impact and of their actions, of how to navigate future conflicts, and how they're going to encounter these situations when they're older, and what that's going to look like when you're older, right? Getting into a fight when you're
over 18. Yeah, it looks totally different, you know?
And they need to start thinking about that right now. Because if they don't learn to manage emotions now, it's really hard later.
Yeah.
You see grown adults every day struggling.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And an educator is such an important role. So what made you want to get into that role? Like, is it something that you always wanted to do when you were a child, or you, like, how did you get into that?
So actually my sister, my older sister, she's an educator and she loved teaching. We're first generation students from migrant parents. So we were like, we didn't really know about a lot of careers. So when my teacher, my sister, she told me, you know, she loved it. I'm like, you know what? Let me try. I applied. I had no idea. I'm driving. I grew up in Venice. I'm driving to this community, South LA, going into Watts. And I'm like, okay, you know, you can feel it's a little bit rough. And I started to learn, you know, like the need to have people that are emotionally passionate about education. So once I started there 11 years ago, the first year I was like, what did I get myself into? Teenagers are mean. I'd go home crying. But then I started to experience the joy, like seeing other immigrant first generation students. We have Black and Brown scholars that, you know, are targeted by different systems or education. They're underserved. It's a different school setting. So seeing them connect to school, I felt like such satisfaction. And just the other day we had open house and this student came in with his younger sister, and I was like, so good to see you after a couple years. And he's like, good to see you. And he waits, he's kind of shy, he has his backpack, and he's like, I want to show you something. He takes out his diploma from UC Irvine, and he got his bachelor's, and I'm like, It just made me feel like this is exactly why I'm here. Awesome. The impact of, you know, him being also first generation and how that's going to impact all his generations to come. And that's going to impact his sister. So that's what keeps got me started and mm-hmm. keeps me going.
Yeah. Would you say that what has been your like greatest challenge of this whole thing in educator? Because I feel it takes yeah. us, it takes a certain kind of person to be an educator. Like you got, I always, it's everybody can't yeah. do that role. Yeah. Like it's a special person.
It's tough. So sometimes I drive home and I cry. I cry my entire drive and I think about it because it sucks the life out of me. Sometimes I'll have students that are like just social emotional issues or they get into fights and having those conversations, you know, you're it's it does get a yeah. little bit exhausting. So then I get home and then my another kids are like, starts. Hey, mom, like what's going on? And I'm like,
let me process what just happened.
I'm like, I think I've given everything I have today. But then having to find that, digging a little deeper of like, my kids need me right now. And I would hate to later my kids say, you know, you prioritize work and what about us? So that's the greatest challenge is, you know, getting home and being like, you know, I have to put on this face of energy and excitement after I, you know, might have experienced kids even tying me off. Like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. yeah, so that's been the greatest challenge.
Because you're an educator, this is our previous episode that we had done was gentle parenting. And okay. I feel like educators are the ones who would implement that into their parenting style. Do you know what gentle parenting is?
I know a little bit of
it. Do you feel like you apply that with your kids?
She's like, did I just tell you I was crying on my way home? I'm not.
I go from trying to talk Celine through her emotions like that's not right and it's okay. And I give her a hug when she's upset to like the point like I'm going to whoop you right now. Like if you don't act right. Yeah. And I'm going through like going back and forth. So
it's normal. Yeah. It is normal to not like stick with it, but so just do it every now and then.
But I try because I'm like, you know, I try a little bit of everything. It's tough. And even in schools, I think like sometimes I'm like, I'm going to call your parents and I'm like, yeah, get mad at them. Like, you know, but then I'm like, no. I want them to communicate. So I'm still navigating even the parenting. I'm like, if there's a good book, please recommend it to me because I need a book.
I mean, this parenting thing is all trial and error and learning yeah. as you go.
That's true.
Do you experience mom guilt where you working and doing so much with the kids and giving them your mm-hmm. all and then coming home and having to put on another face? And just
I do every day. This is something that I am talking myself through as well because my kids were they're always sick now that my daughter started school. But I'm like, you know, I can't take off work. So I take them to grandma's house. And then finding that balance of like, I should stay home and let my daughter rest and stay with her. She needs me. And then also understanding like, the school needs me. There's a sense of urgency in underserved communities. So I'm trying to find that balance has been a tremendous challenge for me. I'm kind of working myself through it still. So, you know, one day I had a fun day and I said, I'm going to take Friday off and we're going to go to Disneyland because
you needed the mental health day.
I needed the mental health day. My daughter needs to feel extra connected to me. We need to do fun things and that helped me. And what also helps me with the guilt is remembering that my daughter, my son, they're not learning from what I tell them, but they're learning from what I model. And they're always copying me. So I'm like, you know what?
Mom's watching.
I want Celine and I want Sebastian to see like what it looks like to pursue your dreams, but also like attend to your kids. So I want her to see that I still, you know, when I was pregnant with my son, I went back to school with my daughter. I was doing homework. So I'm like, she's gonna learn from seeing me. So I want to be a guide for her. And also with the support of my husband, because without his support, I would lose it. I would seriously lose it.
And speaking on like taking your kids out of school, because I know this was like a big thing for me. Like I was always big on attendance for my kid. Like, he can't miss school. He doesn't need to miss school. We took all COVID off of school. Like, you need to go to school and catch up on, like, where you're supposed to be. So I always was hesitant to take him out of class or, like, miss school for a day or whatever. So from the point of view as an educator, what is, do you think it's okay that parents take their kids out of school to have like a family fun day or go on, day or, on a trip? Yeah. Like say like we take would take our kid out, like we do like a week long desert trip or whatever, and they go ride and whatever. And I was telling my husband, like, no, we can't, like, he can't miss school. He cannot miss school. Yeah. And he's like, why? He's learning about, like,
it's the teaching moment.
He's learning about, like, life things out there. Mm-hmm. So, and he's seeing it and experiencing it. Like, it's still teaching him something. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, so from your point of view as an educator, also as a parent, like, what do you think is necessary and not necessary?
I think it's necessary for them to be present in school. I think attendance is important, but I think, you know, once a year there's that exceptional time where, you know, it can have a huge impact. If it means like resetting for both of you, you guys had a hard week, you know, they can use it, that connection. It's important, but doing it, like I have seen it done frequently, like picking them up early, let's like once a week. That's extreme. Students need to learn the importance also of just being present and, you know, perfect attendance also. Yeah. But there's those moments when I think once, twice a year, aside from being really sick, right, where you can have your fun day. Attendance is super important.
It is super important. But I feel like, too, if life hasn't taught us anything, like you don't get those moments back. And especially if your child is doing good in school, like if they're on top of their game and making good grades, I don't see anything wrong with like taking them out a day or something to go experience life with their family, or you know, everything is a teachable moment, so I'm sure they're learning something, you know, as you do it.
And explaining again, going back to the why, explaining to like, I'm bringing you out, but it's because I really want to connect with you today. I want us to have a fun day together. But when you go back to school, you know, I want you to do the makeup work, or even teach them, communicate with your teacher. Hey, I'm going to be gone this day. And can I get the homework ahead? Teaching them that responsibility is important.
Good advice, especially the homework.
Sorry. Do you live, or like you zoned for where you teach?
I live in Inglewood, which is about 7 miles from Watts. Not too far. I've seen some of my students at Target.
Your kids zoned for your school?
So no, they go next to grandma's house. So I keep them closer to grandma because my daughter gets off school at 2. So grandma's able to pick them up. Or dad sometimes.
So what about like when they go into high school, would you want them to go to the school you're teaching at, or like a higher rated school because you know, like the expectations and stuff?
It's tough because right now we're kind of rebuilding everything after the pandemic. But we have some amazing teachers at our school, top quality teachers. We are a charter school. I would have her come to my school for sure. I was a teacher there, and the adults there, they understand the urgency and how important it is for families in the community of Watts to have that student be the first generation. Well, Celine would now, and my son would be, you know, second generation, but I would have them. I also want my kids to be exposed to different diverse settings too. So I have to think of like the schooling, and if their schooling isn't diverse, how am I going to expose them to different cultures? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've always wondered that about teachers. Like, do you send your kid to, especially if you're teaching in like a school district that's like difficult, do you send your kid to the school that's like, you know, the spoon fed kids like, you know, the higher expectations, better test scores, or do you keep them where you're at?
That's tough. I've always because wondered that. A lot of the issues I'm scared of, I mean, they're seen everywhere, right? Like drug exposure, just the social pressure. There's different types of challenges, you know, everywhere. It's tough.
And even some of those schools that are like in different areas, like sometimes they have more access to things that they can get because they may mm-hmm. have parents who have more money or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's more accessible than it may be to another child. So sometimes those schools may not be as mm-hmm. good as we, you know, yeah. think they are, because they have it to their leisure at times.
And a lot of how a student turns out is also has to do with home life too. Yeah. You know, the conversations that kids are having with their parents, their guardians, that's important too, no matter what school setting they go to. Mm-hmm. Building like ambition and resilience comes from what they see at home as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Lorena, you did amazing at answering all of our questions.
Let me get a sip of this mimosa.
Yeah, okay. Please sip on. And then tell us where we can find you. Like, if there's a student, I mean, I don't know. I don't think we have students listening to us, but like, because
if my students come like across educators, or if you're looking for a teaching position, hey,
like, hi, Lorena.
Yeah, come work with me on LinkedIn under Lorena Reynoso. You can find me. Also, my email, LorenaReynoso21@gmail.com. Instagram, low_Winsky21. I just gave too many. My students don't find me though.
No, I don't think they're listening. Hopefully they're not listening to Mamas and Mimosas. I hope. I actually had to block a few of my son's friends. I'm like, tell them to stop. Remember? I'm like, tell them to stop listening. Like, you don't need to hear anything we're talking about.
Somehow students find me. I made like some TikToks with my pets and they're like, we saw your videos. And I'm like, how?
Oh my God.
My username is like 1845675. Yeah.
Thank you again. Well,
thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Good time.
Yeah. All right, guys. See ya.
See ya.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to keep hearing more, would you let us know by subscribing to this podcast and YouTube and hit the little like and heart button? This allows us to help more mamas to feel less alone in motherhood and will also automatically notify you when we throw out a new episode.